ॐ ध्यायामोदबलावकुण्डलवतीं तेजोमयीं नैष्ठिकीं स्निग्धापाङ्गविलोकिनीं भगवतीं मन्दस्मितश्रीमुखीं वात्सल्यामृतवर्षिणीं सुमधुरं सङ्कीर्तनालापिनीं श्यामाङ्गीं मधुसिक्तसूक्तिम् अमृतानन्दात्मिकामीश्वरीम्। In the 118th shloka, Shankara spoke about pranayamam. So Vedantic pranayamam, the next sadhana, that chitta adi sarva bhaveshu brahmatvenaiva bhavanat nirodaha sarva vrittinam pranayamasya uchyate. So removing or negation of all thoughts in the mind. So it's not exactly negation, but it is converting all the thoughts into Brahman, or knowing all the thoughts to be Brahman, meaning that contemplation, internally contemplating that everything is Brahman, Sarvam Brahmamayam, that is called Pranayamam, control of Prana. That means control of Pranayamam is control of Prana through control of breath. So control of breath here means control of thoughts in the mind. So control of thoughts in the mind by converting them to Brahman. So that is control, real control, because it is real control because the thoughts of the mind are nothing but Brahman. Because like everything beyond the mind and everything from the mind, everything is Brahman. The thoughts of the mind, which are impressions of objects of the world, are Brahman. Because the objects of the world are Brahman, they are mere illusions of Nama Rupam in Brahman. Since they are Brahman, therefore the impression formed in the mind also has to be Brahman. Mind also is Brahman, therefore the thoughts. Like one way is that the objects that we perceive are Brahman, therefore the thoughts are in the mind, which are impressions of the object, they also have to be Brahman. And the second way is that mind or the antakarnam is also an illusion in Brahman, therefore the thoughts in the antakarnam, the thoughts in the mind also have to be Brahman. So that is what is called control of prana, the vital force. So it's also another way of telling that control of vital force means having vital force under control. That means the vital force, what is the vital force that makes us survive in the world? So survival of all beings in the world is because of consciousness, chit or Brahman. So it is Brahman who is responsible for life itself. So control of vital force means control of Brahman. How can you control Brahman? You cannot control Brahman. The only way you can control Brahman is by becoming Brahman. So Brahmavet Brahmaiva Bhavati. So control of Brahman is nothing but being Brahman. Therefore control of prana, control of vital force, is nothing but being Brahman. So that is what Shankara mentioned as pranayamam, real pranayamam. And as per Yoga Shastram, pranayama has three aspects to it, or we can say three components to it. It is not advisable to do pranayama by oneself. I used to do it long ago at home, like reading Shivananda's book and Vivekananda's book. I used to do it. But it is always advisable to do pranayamam, yogic sadhana, one of the ashtangam. So as per Yoga Shastram, pranayama, if you have to do, then it is advisable to do under a person who knows it, who is regularly doing it. Because pranayamam is done through control of breath, and control of breath means that controlling your inhalations, exhalations and all, if something goes wrong in between, then it can also lead to death. Therefore it is not advisable to do pranayamam by oneself, yogic pranayamam by oneself. So pranayamam, even yogic pranayamam, has three components to it that are compulsorily to be done. The simplest way, or the starting, the very basic way a person is told to do pranayamam is just by inhaling and exhaling. So being aware and inhale and exhale. Like Amma says, imagine or utter the word Ma when you inhale and Om when you exhale. So that's how Amma says. So that is a basic way of controlling prana, is by being aware and breathing to our maximum potential. That means try to inhale as much as possible and exhale as much as possible. The more and more you do it, like 5 or 6 times you do it, then your prana will become controlled. So this prana or breath is very important in worldly activities. So it is when a person, like, that's the reason why pranayamam or control of breath is essential for pratyaharam. Pratyaharam is controlling or withdrawing sense organs, that means control of mind. The breath and mind are closely related. Let's say that a person is running for 10 minutes. He is not jogging, but he is running for 10 minutes. After running for 10 minutes, he will feel that his breath, like he is breathing very heavily. And that means like he is exhausted, his mind is also exhausted. So we find in many cases, like when a person gets angry, when a person is depressed, breath becomes more heavy, either heavy or very low. But the best way to control it or bring it to normal breath, if you are angry or if you have run for 10 minutes and you are gasping for breath, then the best way to get it back to normal is by breathing in and out as much as possible to maximum potential. So if a person breathes, inhales heavily and exhales heavily for 2 minutes, then his breath will become normal. So without doing anything, it will take quite a long time, but this is simple way. So that means when we breathe heavily, our mind also becomes a bit calm. So the basic type of pranayamam is just being aware and inhaling and exhaling. And then the next level of pranayamam to do is control the time or duration of your inhalation and exhalation. So generally the ratio that is maintained is inhalation. If inhalation is for 1 second, exhalation has to be twice, 2 seconds. So exhalation is twice as much inhalation. So the simple way of doing is inhale for 4 seconds, exhale for 8 seconds, and then like 4, 8 is a common one. Then you can try to increase it, like inhale for 5, exhale for 10, inhale for 6, exhale for 12. So exhalation is very tough to do, so it will take practice. Once a person does 4, 8 for some time, then he'll be able to do 5, 10, then he'll be able to do 6, 12. But it has to be done continuously. Person shouldn't stop. He should do it regularly. He should do it in a particular position, either in Padmasanam or Sukhasanam, with back straight. He shouldn't have had food for before half an hour. He shouldn't have food after half an hour. So if these precautionary measures are not maintained or not followed, then it may even lead to death. So that is the next type of pranayama. And then the final type, or the normal type that is followed, is inhale, then hold your breath for some time, and then exhale. So even as inhalation and exhalation is like 1:2, so the ratio that is to be followed for inhaling, holding and exhaling is 1:4:2. So that's the most common type of pranayamam. So ultimately pranayama means you should be inhaling, holding and exhaling. And there are also ways, like you have to inhale, like close your use your right hand and the thumb of the right hand to hold or close your right nostril, and use the small finger, the smallest finger, and then the ring finger to close and open your left nostril. So first close your left nostril, inhale through the right nostril, so thumb will be opened. So inhale through the right nostril for, as I said, like it is 1:4:2, and the starting point is 4 seconds. So that means 4 seconds inhalation, 16 seconds holding and 8 seconds exhalation. So open, like inhale for 4 seconds through your right nostril, then close both the nostrils, hold for 16 seconds, and then exhale through the left nostril for 8 seconds, and then inhale through the left nostril for 4 seconds, hold for 16 seconds, and then exhale through the right nostril for 8 seconds. This completes one round of pranayama. Similarly, it is supposed, or it is said, that you should do at least 10 rounds. Then you can increase it for 15 or 20 maximum rounds. And after doing for it for some time, then you can, like 1:4:2, you started with 4, 16 and 8, increase it to 5. That means 5, 20 and 10. So you can do that. So this is the basic type of pranayama, wherein a person inhales, holds and exhales. Then there are different other types of pranayamas, like another common mode is that inhale, like the very basic one is, after inhaling you will hold the breath. So after inhaling, hold the breath. But here what will the another variation is that you'll inhale for 4 seconds, exhale for 8 seconds, and then hold. So hold your breath after exhalation. That is another variation of pranayama. These two are the very common pranayama that is done by people. Then there are different other types of breathing, like Kapalabhati and other breathing exercises, which will help. It will help a person to control his breath better. That means those are like prerequisites for pranayama. So if those practices like Kapalabhati, you can search in the net or go to any Shivananda site and find out. So if you do some precautionary or prerequisite activities which is related to breath, then pranayama will become easier. So these, the three components of pranayama are inhalation, holding and exhalation. So these three have a Sanskrit word associated with each of those. So inhalation is called purakam, holding is called kumbhakam, and exhalation is called rechakam. So it is purakam, inhaling, kumbhakam, which is holding, and rechakam, which is exhalation. So Shankara, like, since Shankara is dealing with pranayamam, therefore he gives, he also says as to, he has explained pranayamam to be done in the Vedantic way, but that is not complete. He has to explain purakam, kumbhakam and rechakam as well, because those are components of pranayamam. Therefore in the 119th and 120th shloka, he speaks about purakam, kumbhakam and rechakam as per Vedantic sadhana. So in this Vedantic pranayamam, wherein all thoughts are converted into Brahman, which means thoughts are completely negated by making them one Brahman. So whatever is seen, it is seen as Brahman. Whatever is seen, when it passes through the mind, it gets converted into Brahman. And for that type of pranayama, what is the purakam, kumbhakam and rechakam, which Shankara explains in the next shloka, next two shlokas. Nishedanam prapanchasya rechakakyat samiranah brahmevasmiti yavrittihi purako vayuriritah tatastad vritti naishchalyam kumbhaka prana samyamah ayam chapi prabuddhanam ajnanam ghrana peedanam. So Shankara first starts with rechakam, then explains purakam and kumbhakam. So what is rechakam? Nishedanam prapanchasya. So as per Amma and as per like even yoga darshanam, pranayamam is done to purify our breath or control the vital force in us and outside us. So that means when you inhale good energy, good things. And when you exhale or leave out bad things. So in Vedanta, what is to be renounced? We have to renounce the entire world. Jagat has to be renounced. So Isha Vasyamidam Jagat yat kincha jagatyam jagat tena tyaktena bunjitaha. So ishavasyam idam sarvam yat kincha jagatyam jagat. Ishvara alone is present here. Tena tyaktena bunjitam bunjitaha. So tena tyaktena bunjitaha. We have to experience, we have to rejoice, we have to enjoy Brahman by renouncing. So by renouncing Namarupam in the Jagat, we have to experience, we have to enjoy Brahman. So breathe out or Rechakam. Rechakakyaha Samiranaha. Rechakakyaha. Akyaha means named or termed. So Rechakam, what is Rechakam? Termed as Rechakam Samiranaha is known. What is it? Prapanchasya Nishedhanam. Prapanchasya of the world. Nishedanam. Nishedanam of the world. Or renouncing the world. Prapanchasya Nishedanam. Renouncing of the world is called Rechakam. So Rechakam is negation or renouncing the world. So renouncing the world. Krishna himself, anasrita karya phalam anasrita karma phalam karyam karma karoti yaha sayogi cha sanyasi cha na niragnir na chakriyaha. In the sixth chapter of Gita, the very first shloka, Krishna says that anasrita karya phalam, a person who doesn't seek karma phalam, and karyam karma karoti yaha, whatever is to be done by him in the world, whatever duties, responsibilities or things that is attributed to his particular role, he does that. And such a person, sa yogi cha sanyasa, sa sanyasi cha yogi cha, he is a sanyasi and yogi. So he is a karma yogi and he is a sanyasi who doesn't expect karma phalam, who renounces karma phalam, who renounces craving for karma phalam, and does whatever is expected out of him. And na niragnir na chakriyah. So the normal sannyasam that we are aware of, that is a person shouldn't touch agni, he shouldn't burn, he shouldn't ignite fire. So sannyasis are not supposed to ignite fire. That's the reason why, like, sannyasis are not supposed to do their parents' antima karma. They are not supposed to do that because they are not supposed to create or ignite fire. So not igniting fire and not doing activity, that is not the real sannyasam nor karma yogam. Real sannyasam and real karma yogam is when a person is not expecting any fruit and he does whatever is expected out of him. So nishedanam or renouncing the world here doesn't mean renunciation or sannyasam, nor does it mean that a person has to just go to a mountain, go to a forest, sit with closed eyes, negate everything, negate all association to the world, or to the objects of the world. That is impossible. As long as a person is in the vyavaharika level, he cannot renounce the world. He cannot renounce the world also because there is no world, no real world. Real renunciation is impossible because the world itself is unreal. That which is unreal cannot be renounced. It can only be known to be unreal. We cannot renounce the snake seen in the rope. So when somebody says renounce the snake seen in the rope, it only means that get rid of the ignorance that it is the snake by the knowledge that it is rope. So the knowledge that it is rope, that is what renounces the snake, because there is no renunciation possible. There is no snake at all to renounce. So prapanchasya nishedanam doesn't mean external renunciation nor getting away from the world internally, or like going to a place, going to a place where nobody is there and all. It only means that renounce namarupam. And how can we renounce namarupam externally? We cannot do, because externally whatever is there is only namarupam of Brahman. So we have to renounce internally in the mind. So that is what Shankara said as Nirodha Sarva Vrittinam. All vrittis have to be renounced by removing the Namarupam aspect internally in the mind and asserting them to be Brahman. So when a person sees something in the world, internally convert, internally make it, internally assert that it is only Brahman. That is what is called as prapanchasya nishedanam, or negation of the world, or renunciation of the world. That is what is rechakam. So rechakam, or breathing out, is removing the nama rupam of the world, removing the nama rupam aspect of the entire world in our mind internally. We cannot do it externally, because external itself means it is nama rupam is there, but internally we have to renounce. So that is rechakam. So if rechakam is negation of the nama rupam aspect, then what is purakam? Brahmaiva asmiti yavrittihi. Yavrittihi brahmaiva asmi. So that vritti in the mind, that brahmaiva asmi, I am Brahman alone. Brahma eva asmi. Asmi means I am. So I am Brahman. That vritti in the mind, which says that I am Brahman, that is called purako vayu. Vayuhu iritaha. Iritaha called or termed. Purako vayu is called purako vayu. Purakaha vayu. So in pranayamam, the three purakam, kumbhakam and rechakam can be said to be three vayus as well. Or like internal, when we are taking inside, we can call puraka vayu. And breathing out, exhalation is called rechaka vayu. Internally holding, kumbhaka vayu we can say. So rechakam is negation of the entire world by renouncing the nama rupam in the mind. And then purakam, or taking in, is asserting, or the asserting thought in the mind that I am Brahman. So what do we, in short, this means that what do we have to take and what do we have to renounce? Any path, as we have already discussed, that the two aspects of, or two aspects of any path, as pratikula sevanam, sorry, anukula sevanam and pratikula varjanam. So any path will have something to be taken and something to be renounced. So in the spiritual path, in Vedantam, we have to take Brahman, take Sachidanandam aspect and renounce Nama Rupam. So the best example that is given in Vedantam is Hamsa, or a swan. A swan has the capability of splitting water and milk. If you keep in a bowl water and milk together, we will not be able to split it, but the swan will be able to split water and milk and drink only milk. Similarly, in a spiritual past, a sadhaka has to, though Vedantins or Mahatmas may say at the Vyavaharika level that do that and all, do dharma, do adharma and all, ultimately in Vedanta, a person has to intake, accept Brahman, Sachidanandam, or Sachidananda Surupa Brahman, and negate Nama Rupa. So all objects in the world have five components associated with it. Asti, Bhati, Priyam, Rupam, Namam, Chetyam, Shapanchakam, Adhyatriyo, Brahma Rupam, Jagat Rupo, Tatodvayam. So any object in the world that we see will have five aspects to it, or five components or parts we can say. Sachidanandam, that is the first three parts, and the rest two are Nama Rupam. First three, Sachidanandam stands for Brahman, and Nama Rupam stands for Jagat. So it is only a matter of what we are seeking, what we are seeing, what we are taking and what we are renouncing. Oh, if that is the case, why not renounce Sachidanandam and accept Nama Rupam? There is no problem in that, except that Nama Rupam is Mithya. Since Nama Rupam is Mithya, it will only give us sorrow. That means we can accept Nama Rupam, but we cannot later say that I'll not accept the Dukkam that is coming out of Nama Rupam. I'll accept only the Sukham that comes out of Nama Rupam. That is impossible. Yehi samsparshaja bhogaha dukkha yone yevate adhyantavanta kaunteya nateshu ramate buddhaha. So Krishna says in the fifth chapter that yehi samsparshaja bhogaha, that bhogam, or that enjoyment, pleasure that we get out of samsparshajaha. Samsparshajaha means samsparshajanyam, which is caused or born out of samsparsham, or conjunction with sense objects. So the pleasure that we gain out of conjunction with sense objects, dukkha yonaya eva te, dukkha yonaya eva te, all those pleasures, dukkha yonayaha. Dukkha yonayaha means bahuvachanam dukkha yoni. Dukkha yoni means seed of sorrow. Dukkha yonayaha means bahuvachanam. That means they, all those pleasures are seeds of sorrow. Eva, sure. Surely they are. Why? Adyantavanta kaunteya. Adi antavantaha. They have a beginning and an end. So when we enjoy an object in the world, there is a beginning to that enjoyment and there is an end also to that enjoyment. There is an end to the enjoyment because it is temporary. That's the reason why in majority of people in the world have issues with things as well as people. Relationship. So if something goes wrong, then you'll have to undergo marriage counseling. So that is the hottest, what to say, you can say topic or science now in the world, because each and every person in the world have relationship issues. So it's called counseling. So if something goes wrong, then like if you file for a divorce in the court, the judge will say, okay, wait for some days and attend a counseling. So the judge is as ignorant as the husband and wife. And the counseling person himself is ignorant. So if you ask the counseling person, okay, how many times have you got married? Oh, that is just 3 or 4 times. So that is the state of the world. That anything and everything you get into counseling. And that counseling cannot do anything for us, because unless we understand that sensual pleasures that we attain, whether it is from a person or an object, both are same. There is no difference between an object and a person. The only difference is that an object will not react to us, whereas the person will react. So if you go and hit a rock, it won't do anything. If we hit a person, he will hit back. That's the only difference. Both of them, like people or like sentient beings and insentient beings, all of them are temporary because they are always changing and they are objects as well. So since they are temporary, therefore they have a beginning and end, therefore they cannot give us eternal bliss. So the sensual pleasures that we gain out of sense contact, out of conjunction with sense objects, they are seeds of sorrow because they have a beginning and an end. Therefore, adyantavanta kaunteya, therefore, na teshu ramate buddhaha. Na teshu, teshu. Teshu means in them. Na ramate. Don't rejoice. They don't rejoice. They don't brood over them. They don't depend on them. Who? Buddhaha means wise people. So wise people don't take resort to that pleasures. Parinama tapa samskara dukkaihi guna vritti virodhascha dukkameva sarvam vivekinaha. It is the same concept that Patanjali mentions in the Yoga Sutras, that parinama tapa samskara dukkaihi guna vritti virodhascha sarvameva dukkam iti dukkam sarvameva vivekinaha. So a person with vivekam, a person with discrimination, a person with intellect will not brood or will not take resort to sins. Pleasures. So this is a very simple concept. It's a very simple, very basic concept, highly logical, yet it is only either we are addicted to it or we cannot live without it. Therefore, we ignore those things. So Krishna gives the reason as to why a person still goes behind sensual pleasures than Vedantic pleasure, because it is attractive. So Krishna says in the 18th chapter that which seems to be amritam in the beginning, that is visham at the end. So that which seems to give happiness in the beginning will give us sorrow in the long run. And that which is blissful, that will give us sorrow in the beginning because the path is not easy. So therefore, like Yama as well, when Nachiketa goes and asks Yama about the truth after life or after death, Yama says that there are two paths. One is Preyo Margam and one is Shreyo Margam. Preyo Margam or Preyas means that which is attractive. And that is sought by fools or ignorant people because it is the seeds of sorrow. Whereas Shreyo Margam gives us eternal bliss. It is not attractive, yet it gives bliss. So it's the same. It's very similar to the old saying that all that glitters is not gold. So things that might seem to be beautiful will be dangerous. If you see movies and all, any person who sees a lot of movies would be easily, or like James Bond movies. If a person watches James Bond movies, then he'll be able to understand this very easily, because if you see some beautiful woman coming, then you can know that, okay, that person is a spy. That person is going to kill or attack James Bond. Because that which seems too attractive, that cannot give us happiness. It can only give us sorrow. So anyway, so the sensual pleasures or sensual pleasures that we gain out of the world, that is temporary, it will lead us to sorrow. Therefore, a person can readily or very well accept Nama Rupam and reject Sachidanandam, but later he shouldn't say that, oh, I got sorrow as well, free out of it, because that is part of it. It's essence. It's the seed of sorrow. It is seed. Therefore, it doesn't bloom immediately. But once you start enjoying it, you are watering the tree. Watering, not the tree, the seed. The tree in the seed. Once you start watering, it will grow up. Once it grows up, then it becomes a tree. That means you will have to enjoy. So that's also another good aspect of Vedanta, or the beautiful aspect of Vedanta, wherein saints say that there is no problem in enjoying pleasures of the world. So this doesn't mean that, oh, sensual pleasures are seeds of sorrow, therefore I'll not enjoy anything. So from today, I'll not eat anything, I'll not drink anything, I'll not touch anything. All that thing, if somebody says, he is a crazy person, because Vedanta doesn't say that you shouldn't enjoy. Just that, be aware, know the nature of objects in the world and then enjoy. That means you know that it cannot help. So Amma gives a beautiful example all the time in her discourses, that be like a mother bird sitting on the branch of a tree. So the mother bird, and there are small kid birds also in a nest, the mother bird, even though it may be sleeping, it is still awake, it is still aware, it is like kind of concentrated. Why is it concentrated? Because it knows that though it is supported in the branch or by the branch, if some strong wind comes, then it knows that the branch cannot support it. So it will be always ready to fly. So we should also have that attitude while enjoying sensual pleasures. We should know that any time the sense objects or those objects may cause us sorrow. So if we know that, then we'll be aware of it. Then if something comes, we know that, okay, it is, I knew it, I anticipated it, therefore it's fine. Oh, that person cheated me. It's very bad, he cheated me. So all those statements and the sorrow rising out of it is because we don't anticipate the cheating from that person. If we know that he's as normal a human being as any other person, then we will know that he may cheat. So we will be aware, we will not totally depend on the person. So only when we depend completely on a person, not knowing that it is temporary, that we will enter into sorrow. So that is also like indirectly following the Sakshi Bhavam, knowing that objects of the world will give us sorrow. And we can know that objects of the world will give sorrow only when we accept Sachidanandam aspect. As long as we are concentrating on Nama Rupam, rejecting Sachidanandam, we will not know that Nama Rupam is an illusion. So as long as we don't apprehend that water seen in desert is desert, we don't apprehend it as desert, we will not be able to accept water as an illusion. But a person, a Vedantin, he will come to know that Sachidanandam or Brahman or desert is real, water is only an illusion. Then he will run after water, still not be affected by it. So it's easy to tell that, okay, enjoy nama rupam remembering God. So people might say, okay, enjoy everything, remember God and enjoy everything. So it can be easily said as like one of the religions, like most common religion in the world. Do some sin, do some papam, and then go to the priest and say, okay, I did this, and then continue again. So after 1 month, again do the same thing and go back. It is the same as like, we don't need to say it is another religion. Hinduism doesn't have all those things. We also have Manusmriti speaks in depth about prayaschitta karmas. So that is another type of karma wherein if you do some papam, then you can do prayaschittam, you can do propitiation or other actions. That's what also happens when you go to see Nadi or any other Jyotisha. He'll say you should do these pariharam, you should do all these, then it will become good. So we'll do all those things and we'll not stop doing bad things. We'll still continue it, but still after some time we'll again go and do pariharam. That's what would happen. So unless we apprehend Sachidanandam aspect, we are convinced, our intellect is totally convinced about Brahman alone being real, we'll not be able to enjoy Namarupam and still be unaffected by it. So if we have to be unaffected by Namarupam, then internally we have to do Purakam and Rechakam. That means we have to accept Sachidanandam and renounce Namarupam internally. So externally enjoy everything. Okay, my mouth is eating, let it eat. So eat a laddu, eat something which is bad, eat something which is good. But when it goes through the mind internally, assert that, okay, everything is Brahman. What I am eating is only Brahman. If it is not good, spit it out. Say that, oh, why did you cook this bad food? And internally say that everything is Brahman. But still, this is part of the world. If I eat something, if it is not good, I have to openly tell that it's not good. That is a norm of the world. So externally, I will do that. Internally, I'll assert that everything is Brahman. So externally, you will shout at the person, you'll shout at the cook. Internally, you will be rejoicing, you'll be happy. And that state is something very beautiful, because then you'll also be able to laugh at many things. So you'll be scolding the other person will get very angry, he will scold at you. And seeing that, you'll be able to rejoice. So the best happiness comes when you scold a person without really scolding. So at that time, you will be able to see the expression of the other person and laugh inside by telling that, oh, what a fool he is. I have not even scolded him. I'm just showing as if I'm scolding and he's getting affected. And you'll be able to laugh heartily. So it's not that you should laugh at other people, you should do all those things. But it just means that that state is really beautiful. It's a blissful state when you are unaffected. You do all activities but are unaffected. That is possible only when you accept Brahman and reject Namarupam. So it's like the daily process that happens in a person, so, or any animal. Eat things, digest it, and leave the residue out. So similarly, intake everything. Intake like the five amshas. Intake or experience objects of the world. But of the experience of the objects, whatever you are intaking, reject Nama Rupam and intake only Sachidanandam. So experience everything, but at the mind level, reject Nama Rupam and intake Sachidanandam. So that is Purakam and Rechakam following. So following Purakam and Rechakam is taking in Nama Rupam and rejecting, taking in Sachidanandam and rejecting Nama Rupam. So what is Kumbhakam then? What is holding the breath? Tataha tad vritti naishchalyam. Tataha means tasmat karanat. Because of that. Because of what? Because of Purakam and Rechakam. Because of intaking Brahman and releasing Namarupam. Vritti naishchalyam. Naishchalyam means nishchalam. Nishchalam means chalam, means chalanam, means movement. Nishchalam means without movement, that means stable or steadiness. So vritti naishchalyam. What vritti? Brahmaivasmi iti ya vrittihi. So because of intaking brahmaivasmi iti vritti, having the thought that I am Brahman, So that means in separating Brahman and Namarupam and asserting Brahman. So it's also like important when you reject Namarupam and assert Brahman to assert that I am Brahman. So you can go on say that, okay, I will take Vishnu, everything is Vishnu, and I will reject Namarupam, but I will not accept that I am Vishnu. That is also a problem, because when everything is Brahman, I am also Brahman. So that is what is meant by ultimately it comes to me. That means rejecting Namarupa and asserting that everything is Brahman and I am that Brahman. So that Brahma Bhavana, having the notion that I am Brahman and everything is Brahman, and rejecting Namarupam, after that, Tad Vritti Naishchalyam, steadiness of that thought, like maintaining that thought that everything is Brahman and I am Brahman. That thought, having that thought always, so that is called Kumbhakaha, and that is called Kumbhakam. So Kumbhakam is, so Purakam is taking, like Purakam and Rechakam. So Purakam and Rechakam means we have to accept Nama, accept Brahman and negate Namarupam. So assertion in the mind that everything is Brahman. I am Brahman, everything is Brahman, whatever is seen, whatever is not heard, only Namarupam, negate Namarupam and I am that Brahman. Everything is that blissful Brahman and I am blissful Brahman, therefore I am blissful. And maintaining that thought, even as like the yogic Kumbhaka is in taking in breath and holding that breath, that means like whatever we are taking in, hold that. That means the vritti that we are taking in, the vritti that we are accepting, which is the vritti that everything is Brahman and I am Brahman, that vritti, maintenance of that vritti, continuing that vritti throughout, always having that particular vritti, is called Kumbhakaha. And I am Pranasamyamaha. This is in short like Pranasamyamam. Samyamam means control. Pranasamyamam means control of prana. And this is the real Pranasamyamam. So I am Pranasamyamaha and Cha Api. Cha, also this is the Pranasamyama, Api surely. Prabuddhanam, I am Cha Pranasamyamaha. Prabuddhanam, so the word Prabuddham has many meanings, like any Sanskrit word, so Prakarshena Buddham. So Prabuddhanam, or for the enlightened, Buddha is a person, enlightened person is called Buddha. Prabuddhana means Prakarshena Buddhana, who have clearly or in a high level enlightened. So that means like here enlightened, we don't need to take it as moksha, because for a person, for a Jivan Mukta, this becomes natural. He doesn't need to do it. He doesn't need to follow pranayamam, because for a Jivan Mukta, he doesn't need nididhyasanam, because he has already attained a Parokshanubhavam. He is living the self. He doesn't need to put effort to be the self, because he is already the self. So here Prabuddhanam would mean sadhakas, or people who are seeking, people who have got Paroksha Jnanam, who are jnanis. So Paramarthananda beautifully splits jnani and Jivan Mukta. There is a difference between jnani and Jivan Mukta. Jnani is a person who has learned the scriptures, who knows the scriptures. So many of us are jnanis because we know the truth. But jnana nishtha, that means nishtha, being ever established in jnanam, always having that jnanam and acting as per that jnanam, is called Jivan Mukti. So here we can consider Prabuddhanam as enlightened people, people who have been enlightened with knowledge of self. That means people who have Paroksha Jnanam, and such people who haven't gained a Paroksha Jnanam, such people, this is the real Pranayamam. I am Pranasamyama. This is Pranayamam for sadhakas, for jnanis, for Paroksha Anubhava jnanis. So it's controversial as well, like the word Prabuddhanam or Buddhanam would mean enlightened. That means a person who has realized. So we have to understand things in the right perspective. There is no point arguing that, okay, this is for, oh, the site, and like Ramakrishna Mission book says that Prabuddhana means enlightened. And this guy Hariram is telling that it's not enlightened, but it is for a sadhaka, because enlightened person doesn't need that. So if a person enters into all those logical arguments, then it'll aparoksha anubhuti will not have its effect on the sadhaka. So the real effect or whatever we need to gain out of it, we should take. The rest we have to just reject. So as per my limited knowledge, prabuddhanam would mean jnanis who haven't gone aparoksha anubhavam. So if you have your a better interpretation, or as per your understanding it is something else, then you can accept it. Ultimately, this prana samyamam is what a sadhaka should do. This is the prana samyamam that is prescribed by Vedantins. So this is the pranayamam of Vedantins. So if this is the pranayamam of Vedantins, then Shankara has to say what is the normal pranayamam. Therefore he says ajnanam grana pidanam. So what is the pranayama for ajnanis, for people who follow other darshanas, who aren't Vedantin, who don't accept Vedanta? For such people, grana pidanam. Grana means is one of the pancha jnanendriya. So granam here means nose. So pidanam means paining, or like giving pain. So giving pain to the nose. So for ajnanis do the pranayamam wherein they trouble the nose. So what is troubling the nose? Trying to do 4, 16, 8, trying to do the normal pranayama, inhalation, exhalation, holding and all. So if you start doing it, you will understand the pain in it, because like you will start inhaling, it will be fine, you'll start holding, after 12 seconds it will be as if like you want to leave it out, after 16 you will leave out, and within 2 seconds your all breath is gone out, but you have to exhale for 8 seconds. You'll not be able to do that. That is painful for the nose. So ajnanis do control of prana through control of breath through nose exercises or breath exercises, whereas the jnanis, or whereas the jnani, jivan muktas and Vedantins prescribe the sadhana of pranayama, in which nama rupam aspect is rejected, Brahman is accepted, everything is Brahman, I am Brahman, is always there in the mind. That is the pranayamam. That will give the real control of prana. That will give control of prana's source. That will give control to that which instigates prana, that which makes prana live. We can say prana makes us live. And what makes prana live? Yat pranena praniti, yena prana praniti, something like that. Tadeva brahmatvam vidina idam yadidam upasate. In the Keno Upanishad, the Upanishad says that yat pranena praniti, that which cannot be sustained, that which cannot be activated by prana, and that which activates the prana, tadeva brahmatvam viddhi, know that alone to be Brahman. So Brahman is that which activates prana. So we can say prana, I am controlling prana, which controls my life. But a Vedantin goes beyond the prana, he goes to control prana's source, which is Brahman. What is the problem of prana control? With prana control, we will be able to read the mind of others. We will be able to control the entire world. But if somebody thinks that controlling the entire world, reading others' mind, gives us bliss, then there is no greater fool than such a person, because we should learn from great leaders of the world like Alexander. Alexander the Great ruled the entire world, but he didn't get bliss out of ruling. He couldn't get bliss. He was still the same person, craving more and more, not content. And when he was walking, the history goes that when he was walking in India, one saint stopped him. One sannyasi stopped him and he asked, "Oh, you control the entire world. What next?" So that is what the sannyasi asked. This made Alexander think. So he tried to control the entire world, yet he was an intelligent person. Therefore, he knew. One way we can say he was intelligent, he understood it. And another way is samsargam or satsanga with jnanis is enough to uplift our intellect and give it real knowledge. So the sannyasi's question and presence enlightened Alexander to an extent. Therefore, when he died, he said, "Put two holes on the coffin, the coffin where my body will be taken, and put my hands out, open hands, to show that I have conquered the entire world, yet I am not taking anything with me when I am going." So we should learn from Alexander. We should learn from the presidents and prime ministers of the entire world. We should learn from Osama bin Laden as to, if we think we can control the entire world, it will end nowhere. If that is the case, what you are speaking is with respect to the earth, with respect to Bhumi. In Swarga, it is not that way. Somebody says that, then such a person should refer the scriptures. He should learn the Puranas and understand that Indra's position is more volatile than Indian government. It is more volatile than the prime minister position of India, because any time he can have attack from asuras. And not just one asura. If he kills one asura, then another asura will come. He'll have to go into hiding. Often Indra goes into hiding, takes resort to this person, takes resort to Vishnu, takes resort to Shiva, takes resort to Brahma. Even like the countries of the world, in current day, a country, if it is facing trouble, it will seek help from another country, a bigger country like United States or Russia, and then try to get rid of the problem. So Indra will get rid of one asura. The very next day, another asura will come. Again, the problem starts. So if somebody thinks that by controlling the entire world, he will get bliss, it is not possible. Because prana control, prana itself is something which is pulsating. We already discussed about prana spandanam. Movement of prana is what sustains the entire world. So prana or energy is moving. So that which is moving is temporary. Therefore, it cannot give bliss. But a Vedantin controls the source of prana, which is Brahman. And since he controls the source of prana, which is permanent, which is eternal, therefore he will get bliss. So the normal pranayamam or breath control, if a person does, first of all, he is troubling the nose to an extent. It will take him 2 weeks. It will take him 1 month to control. It takes people like 1 week or 2 weeks to even sit with their back straight. And for some people, it takes like 1 week even to sit on the floor, because people are used to sitting on chairs, leaning on something, keeping their backs bent. So people will say, "I did meditation, but after half an hour, I'll look around me. Where there is a pillar, where there is a wall, I'll try to lean onto it." So you can see, if you go to any temple or any ashram, you can find people looking for places, looking for the hot spots of like places which have pillars or walls nearby, so that they'll sit like a great yogi, a person who has control of the body by sitting very straight. So 1 second you'll see them very straight. The very next second, if you close your eyes for a minute and then look back again, then back will be normal. And like if somebody sees, then they'll lean over the wall and say, "I'm sitting straight, see? I'm sitting straight. I'm doing meditation for 1 hour. This is called meditation." So many people think it that way, that okay, meditation, I can sit straight and then I can move, I can bend my back and all those things. I can open my eyes. I can, like if mosquitoes are coming and sitting on my nose, I can scratch my nose and all those things. But even as per Patanjali, that's not the right meditation, because Patanjali speaks about meditation or any asana as a person, as a position which is not moving. And many commentaries of Patanjali's Yoga Sutra speaks about that time as at least 2 hours. So if a person is saying that I'm confident of sitting in Padmasanam, that means he has to sit in Padmasanam without moving even a hand or a hair, sitting steady without any movement for 2 hours. That is what mind may be moving. That's another thing. So that's also another fault or a problem with meditation. People will say, okay, I am able to sit for 2 hours now, but the moment I close my eyes, I'll be roaming here and there. I do meditation a lot because it is fun. If I'm watching a TV, I'll be watching only a movie of which is a creation of that person. If I close my eyes, then I can go to anywhere. I can go to India without any visa, without any ticket, without any cost. I can like enjoy pleasures if I just close my eyes and do meditation. So that is the meditation of many people. And there is another level of meditation wherein people will close their eyes and then slowly their body will start leaning towards the front. If you ask them, they'll say, oh, that is called yoga nidra. I was in samadhi avastha. What they would have been doing is just sleeping or dozing off while doing meditation. And another logic or explanation, interpretation of that. So all it the prana, the basic point is pranayama, meditation or yogic way of or doing things. It's not that easy to do. It requires a lot of practice. It requires a lot of effort. And there are very few people who do it perfectly. And people who do it perfectly, even the yogic meditation, if there are people who do it perfectly, then they'll be taken to the next level of Vedantam. They'll be taken to Vedantam if somebody is rightly doing it. So that means majority of us are doing it namesake. We are not doing naam ke vaste. We are just doing it for like, just for terming or saying to somebody that I am doing. Or since, okay, the person I discuss with, he said that I should do meditation, therefore I am doing it. I know that this is of no use. He says to do sadhana for 5 hours, sadhana for 8 hours. He will say all those things. I will do that. I'll close my eyes, sleep, and all those things I'll do. So people might think all those things, but it's not. There are very few who do it perfectly. And if a person does it perfectly, then he will very easily attain the self. But through Vedantic way, not yogic way. Yogic way, if a person does remembering Vedanta or having association with a Vedantic guru, a Sadguru like Amma, then he'll be led to the next step or stage of Nididhyasanam as per Vedanta. But the point to be remembered here is that pranayamam, the yogic pranayamam, requires a lot of strain, a lot of effort. So it is straining of the nose, torturing the nose for some days, and then again trying to torture it daily. Whereas Vedantic way is very simple. It doesn't need much effort. It doesn't need any practice. It doesn't need going to a guru and learning, giving money and learning. It doesn't have things like you have to do asana for one month, asana for 1 year, and then do pranayama. All those things is not there. There is no risk whatsoever associated with it. The only risk is that if a person does this Vedantic pranayama, then he may realize. So that is the only risk, and it is not a risk because. So there are people who might think, oh, Vedantam, don't learn Vedantam. Parents will tell their children, oh, you're learning Vedantam. You should learn. I have no objection in you learning Shankara's work and all those things. But you shouldn't be told that you shouldn't marry. You shouldn't be told that you will realize. As long as you don't realize, learning Vedanta is fine. What is the problem? Oh, if I realize, what would happen? Something very bad. I don't want realization. So there are people who say that they don't want realization. There are people who say that their children or other people don't get realization. So people are afraid of realization. So that is the only risk in Vedantic pranayama. A person might realize. That is the only risk. And a person who has learned Aparoksha Anubhuti and other works of Shankara and scriptural works, he will know that moksha is the most binding thing in the world because it gives us bliss and binds us to it. And the binding is so strong that you cannot get out of it. Once you realize, then there is no coming back. Yad gatva ananivartante raddhama paramam mama. It's that state wherein once you attain it, you cannot come back. So unlike yogic pranayama, Vedantic pranayama, it's simple to do. You just have to internally negate nama-rupam aspect, contemplate on Brahman, always think that everything is Brahman, always have the notion that I am Brahman, everything is Brahman in the mind, and have that thought always. That is Puraka, Rechaka and Kumbhaka. And that will slowly make a person realize Brahman by increasing the time or duration of his Nididhyasana. When Nididhyasana duration gets increased, it becomes natural. When Nididhyasana becomes natural, that is what is called Aparokshanubhavam. And Aparokshanubhavam is called Moksham or realizing. And it is that Moksham or Anandam which we are seeking in the world through learning these words or in the worldly paths as well. We'll continue with the next sadhana of pratyaharam in the next day. Hare Krishna.